And so our next presenter this morning is Brandy White. Excuse me. Brandy is a PhD candidate in health services research at the Medical University of South Carolina. She has her master's in public health from the University of Minnesota in community health education. Her past research has focused on improving health outcomes among low-income populations, such as the homeless and public housing residents. Currently, her research focuses on improving access to healthcare services among underserved populations.
Morning. So this study is looking at public use data to identify community-level risk factors for infant mortality. And I don't have any disclosures or anything. So we know that infant mortality is a key indicator of population health, and it has been gradually decreasing in the U.S. over the past 20 years. In 2000, there were 6.8 infant deaths per 1,000 live births, and in 2010, it was 5.9 infant deaths per 1,000 live births. But however, it's still a major problem for minority and low-income communities. And many states have renewed their focus on preventing infant mortality for these populations, but because of funding limitations and limited resources, it's imperative that we really begin to target our resources. So individual level maternal risk factors explain some of the disparities, but community level characteristics may contribute to some of these increased infant mortality rates that we see, but they're not well described in the literature. So as far as maternal risk factors, we know that lacking prenatal care, low educational attainment, poverty, poor health behaviors all contribute to infant mortality, and also low birth weight, maternal age, previous problem births. And we also know that racial and ethnic minorities also have high rates of infant mortality, specifically African Americans and Puerto Rican mothers and American Indian and Native American and Alaska Native mothers. So the purpose of this study was to first examine predictive characteristics of a large number of aggregate, individual, or maternal level risk factors, population and social measures, and from that, identify a parsimonious set of indicators that may be useful for targeting the highest risk communities for programs to prevent infant mortality. So we conducted a retrospective analysis of publicly available data from the Chicago Department of Public Health data portal, and data was available for all of Chicago's 77 officially designated areas. I don't know if you all are familiar with Chicago. There's 77 very distinct communities that it's made up of. So the community was our unit of analysis. And our primary outcome was the average community level infant mortality rate from 2000 to 2002, and that was per 1,000 live births. So the key characteristics that we had available in that data portal with individual or maternal level characteristics, including teen birth weight, low birth weight babies, and start of prenatal care. And this was all from 2000, the average from 2000 to 2002. And then we had population characteristics, including race and ethnicity, educational attainment, poverty rate, employment status, family size, veteran status, and percentage of foreign born. And all this is at the community level. And this was from the U.S. Census. So they were able to take that information and apply it to those 70, overlay it over the 77 communities in Chicago. And then community wealth indicators, including per capita income, household income, percent owner-occupied housing, and home value, and this was also from the U.S. Census. And then we included social capital characteristics. And we decided to include social capital because that looks at the level of neighborhood social cohesion, and that's been associated with adverse community health outcomes, including poor maternal and child health outcomes. So we used homicide rate as a proxy measure, and that was in the data portal, and then percent of vacant housing units. So for our statistical methods, we did descriptive statistics for all the variables, and we used linear multivariable regression to examine the strength of the association between key characteristics and to select the strongest set of joint predictors of infant mortality at the community level. So with our individual characteristics, as far as our descriptive, the average infant mortality rate for all the communities was 9.4 deaths per 1,000 live births, and this was higher than the U.S. average in 2000, which was 6.8. And you can see there was a broad range at the community level, so it ranged from 2.1 deaths to 25.6 deaths per 1,000 live births. The teen birth weight, it was also a big range between 3.6 to 137.2, and that was actually taken at looking at births from young women 15 to 19 years of age. So you can see there was a wide range of that, and also with percentage of low birth weight babies. And then the start of prenatal care, we had the community average, most people starting prenatal care in the first trimester, with a wide range from 59.1% to 94.8%. But then at the third trimester, we had some that some communities that didn't begin that until later on. Population characteristics varied. There were some, if you look at the range for non-Hispanic Black, non-Hispanic White, Hispanic and Asian, there were some communities that were majority-minority communities, if that makes sense. So non-Hispanic White, some communities it ranked 96%. Some didn't have any residents that were white or any residents that were Black or any residents that were Asian. The average at the community level of foreign-born residents was 19.3%. The average family size was 3.5. And the veteran status, we had about, the community average was 8.10%. Population characteristics, looking at socioeconomic conditions, it ranged, there was a broad range for the poverty rate for families and then also families with children and also with educational attainment. We had some communities that just had, looking at those that had graduated from high school, it ranged from 36.3% to 94.6%. And then percent that were unemployed at the community level, it ranged from 2.8% to 33.5%. So all these communities, as far as the population and the individual level risk factors, there was a broad range. Community wealth, there was also a broad range with per capita income and medium household income. We had some communities that were 91% owner-occupied, some that were just 9%, and medium home value also, there was a broad range. Social capital, the homicide rate, very broad range from 6, and that's homicide rate per 100,000 persons in 2000, 6 to 99.9, and then vacant housing, it ranged from 2% to 27.4%. And after we examined these characteristics individually, and that's not reported here, but in our final model, this was the strongest model that explained 75% of the variability in infant mortality rate at the community level. And all of these variables were statistically significant in the final model. So you can see the individual characteristics that explain community-level infant mortality included a high percentage of low both birth weight babies and a decline in mothers who began prenatal care in the second trimester. So for every percentage, 1% increase above the average of 10% for low birth weight babies, the infant mortality rate increased 1.28 points. And for prenatal care, for every 1% decrease below the average of 15.3% of those who began prenatal care in the second trimester, the infant mortality rate decreased by 0.3 points. And with population characteristics, there was a higher infant mortality rate for communities that had a higher percentage of Hispanic residents and foreign-born residents, and those that had a high percentage of those that were unemployed, and also those that had veterans. And then with the social capital variables, they were both significant in the model homicide rate. So at the every 1 percentage point above the average of 20.7 with the homicide rate, there was a increase by 0.06 points in the infant mortality rate. And then also with vacant housing, with every 1% decrease of the number of housing units, the infant mortality rate decreased. So this is just looking at the characteristics and those that were significant. So some of these community-level characteristics, it may be able to explain some of the racial and ethnic differences that we see in infant mortality. And the key findings that we found in this study was really the importance of the early initiation of prenatal care, the disparities for some of these ethnic enclaves. We saw that the higher percentage of Hispanics and higher percentage of foreign-born residents, there was an increase in infant mortality, and also this disinvestment or this lack of social capital with that association with high rates of high homicide rates and vacant housing units. So to look at the initiation of prenatal care, we know that our final model showed that a decline in the percentage of mothers who began prenatal in the second trimester, that was associated with the lower infant mortality rate. And something that wasn't reported here, but in our preliminary models that were looking at the different characteristics individually, those that didn't have any prenatal care, that was significantly associated with infant mortality, the community-level infant mortality rate. So this really is saying that the lower quantity of care, it's associated with worse health outcomes. So the earlier you begin prenatal care access at the community level, the higher the less strong the association is with infant mortality. And also we saw that a higher percentage of low birth weight babies, that was also associated with the higher infant mortality rate. And this supports what we already know, that prenatal care should begin immediately. And there's a number of community-level efforts to increase access to prenatal care, availability of primary care providers. We didn't look at whether or not these areas were medically underserved areas, but that can be an indicator of targeting some of these programs that are out here with the ACA, with community health centers, and making sure that some of these communities are getting those resources. The availability of prenatal clinics is important, and that's associated with better health outcomes and access to prenatal care services. And also, community mobile health vans. If hospitals start utilizing that and going out into the communities, that can improve access to care and really help promote that early initiation of prenatal care services. And something that's not on this slide is percentage of veterans that was also associated with infant mortality. So that may indicate some barriers to care for this population with the VA system. And that's something that really needs further research. So as far as these ethnic enclaves, there was a higher infant mortality rate for communities with higher percentages of Hispanic and foreign-born residents. And this is inconsistent with the individual-level findings that we see. So infant mortality rates are lower among some Hispanic groups and foreign-born mothers versus non-Hispanic whites. So this may have something to do with residential segregation. That may explain some of the disparity that we see in community-level infant mortality for some of these ethnic enclaves or residentially segregated communities. And this may be related to limited access to health services. Since they're concentrated in certain areas, there may be a higher poverty concentration and limited access to different health services. Some of these communities may be located in food deserts, which prevents access to healthy foods to promote healthy, more positive maternal and child health outcomes. Poor housing quality. Chicago is a very old city. A lot of the environments are extremely toxic in there. I don't know if you all are familiar with environmental justice. So some of these communities, especially Hispanic communities in Chicago, are battling some of these. So the previous land use, maybe some of the issues that are causing higher rates of infant mortality than other communities. But further research is really needed to look at this, because previous research looking at foreign-born mothers, and it shows that their rates are lower. So something may be happening in these communities where that's not a protective factor, and that really requires further research. So as far as the lack of social capital and this disinvestment in social capital, there was a higher homicide rate and higher percentage of vacant housing that was associated with, with high infant mortality rates, and we use that as a proxy measure. And social capital are features of social organization that facilitate cooperation for mutual benefit. And it's really looking at the social networks, the trust, and the resources, not just financial, but also cultural resources and health-related resources that communities have. And these communities that are rich in social capital have better health outcomes and lower mortality rates. So we really need to begin to think about what community-level efforts we can do to increase social capital. So that may include partnering with local businesses that are invested in these communities and really using community assets to build trust in the community and more of promote social cohesion within these communities and working with schools and creating these partnerships. So future research should really look at what role social capital can play at the community level to improve maternal and child health outcomes. So in conclusion, identifying communities at risk for high infant mortality is imperative to improve maternal and child health outcomes. And this is one example of developing a parsimonious set of community-level indicators that can assist public health practitioners in targeting their resources for specific geographic areas. So there was some limitation with our study. It was limited to the quality of the public health data from the Department of Chicago's Department of Public Health and also the census data. And then we weren't able to model all of the potential determinants of infant mortality. We were only limited to those that were available. And that's it.